Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and there's a lot happening. Tara and Rama have a lot of information. Omina will be our guest the second hour, and so you'll be able to call in and ask your questions again on that. And as we open the call here, we bring in our dear little Angel Sue, who will set the tone and get us started. So, Angel Sue, pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you very much, Marita. Oh, Marita Robert, I wanted to let you know that in the meditation before the program, I was looking at a gorgeous night sky filled with stars that were 24 karat gold. And the points on the stars, each was curly. Like, remember the Shirley Temple movies that she made when she was a child and she wore her hair in those long finger curls?
Each
yes. point on the star was curled like that throughout the entire sky. So I think things are changing. And so as I let you know that, Marita Robert, the golden time is here. And since we're so close to the solstice, I just want to say that magic is afoot, as Tara and Rama have been guiding us with over time, that thought. And so, with our Galactic Stargate Roundtable here, we say welcome in the light of the Most Radiant One. And if we add that radiance of the 24-karat gold in with that as well, a sky of beautiful golden light, we're going to call on the office of the Christ and only the office of the Christ to bless this call. And we're also invoking the loving energy of Saint Germain and the violet flame. So if each one of you now will settle back and come from the head space down into your heart space, claim yourself as that beloved child of the universe, loved for exactly the reason being that you are here now. Part of this beautiful galactic family of divine daughters, divine sons. Claim yourself. Call in your higher self, your twin flame. With all that love of your ascended masters, your guides, your teachers, your avatars, your counselors of light, the beloved ones that adore you and follow what is going on from other dimensions. Just the purpose that you breathe and are here now. So with all this beautiful support, take a breath in. Let's do the peace breath right now. And think of one of your happiest times when you have felt wonderful in this lifetime, in this body. A glorious moment that just expanded your connection with the universe. So with the breath in, and then releasing that breath, let the gratitude flow as you say the word peace. Remember that moment of feeling wonderful, special, adored, or in wonderment, or at one moment. Peace. and with this look on the inside and find what's going on in your body. And we're going to spread the energy of praise, respect, thanks, and love everywhere. And we're going to hold that energy of praising, respecting, thanking, and loving for 90 seconds. And I'll be your timer. So let that go forward now and find what's going on within you. Celebrate what can be celebrated. Harmonize what can be harmonized. And release what can be released. Just for this moment now, for the next 90 seconds. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And let this peace roll forward. The praise, respect, thanks, and love to every cell and every atom. You can do it for each age, as a young child, even as an infant, adult, whatever age you want to send that balancing of praise, respect, thanks, and love to as well. And the energies spin differently. And we accept calibrations in this high time of energy before the solstice. And since we've already done our peace breath, let's think about those that we hold dear, those that we claim in our life, those that we're aware of, whatever situation the planet is going through, whatever situation the news is bringing forward. And let's praise, respect, thank, and love all of that as well. The white hats, the black hats, those that we're not so fond of, every one of us. And we can set the time now for another 90 seconds with praise, respect, thanks, and love. We can call in the energy for those who have left us, those that are two-legged, those that are four-legged or two-winged, those that creep, that crawl, swim, all beings here on this planet, within, upon, and around. We can do it for Nasara, the Reformation Act, for our Faction 3 White Knights, our Galactic Forces of Light, the whistleblowers, the media people, all those that are involved in this massive change and shift. Praise, respect, thank, and love, for they bring together a great opportunity for change, for understanding, for lessons to be looked at, weighed as what we cherish and what we wish to change. It's all a wondrous time to create heaven here on this planet. Praise, respect, thank, and love all paths, all things. And now we're going to switch it to the law of one with the most amazing divine solutions to everything that's going on with your concerns, with your life, with all of their paths as well. And so we call in the beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, that are part of this grand experiment. And we joyfully accept all. We cherish them for what gifts they bring. And so with this we say to them, we welcome you, and we are one with all. When one is harmed, all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen here, and that this beautiful energy of the 24-karat gold stars throughout the entire bit of creation, all time, all space, that this bring a higher frequency, a higher love, a higher happiness, a higher healing, a higher harmony. And we give thanks that this is done, heaven on earth now. And we close by saying, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And we love you so much. Thank you for being here tonight. Blessings to you all. And Marita Robert, I gold star you. Former teacher, I know you taught way above elementary school, but weren't those gold stars especially fun?
Well, I thank you for that, and we appreciate you getting us started this evening. We'll pass the talking stick next to Carolyn, who will update us on the energies of the Mayan calendar and what's going on there.
And thank you for all the gold stars, Angel Sue. Okay, so today is 11th D, the warrior. So it's the yellow spectral warrior day. And this 11 number, this 11th sacred tone, which is spectral, and it's about and dissonance and change and disintegration. This 11th tone is really letting go. And chaos and dissonance must be released so that there is a cleaning of old patterns and an emerging wholeness. To quote Joe on this 11th tone, growth during this time occurs through re-examination. The vision quest is represented by tone 11. Now is the time to choose free will and liberty over death and decay. So those are some good words about that 11th tone in this. And she also has good words about Steve, too, and I want to share those with you. Steve is the warrior, okay? And Steve is spelled C-I-D. You are the servant warrior for the galactic humankind. Your inner voice is one of divine communication. The god and goddess open to receive direct transmission from the universe. You easily tap into the collective cosmic consciousness. Your shield of protection is actually a conduit between the world's realities and the source of all that is. The seen and unseen are your playing field. Trust in your journey. It is the journey to awaken all of humankind. Remember that you are a spiritual warrior, not a military soldier. You are the spider which connects to the crystal grid work of our knowledge of what we are to do next. So I just wanted to share some of my teacher's those words and how she describes Steve that way as a warrior. Very good description, I think. And then tomorrow is a portal day. It's a 12 Kaban. And the Kaban is the earth. And that 12 number, that crystal, is the crystal tone. So this is a healing aspect. And it's that portal day, so you know that it's multidimensional. It's one of the 52 portal days in the Soul King. So it's have the gift with Kaban of access to planetary harmony and being that balancing point and the gift of using our intuition. So work with these energies tomorrow as we go through the day and be aware of this earth energy and this portal energy and this crystal 12 energy. So then again, on Saturday, we have a 13 Etnah, which means we're finishing up this wave of Kini that we're in. This way where we're linking ourselves to our past, to our present, and it Kini links us between worlds. So linking from the Kali Yuga to the Sat Yuga. So these new beginnings. And as we do this 13, we finish this wave and with that transformation into Christ consciousness. And then on Sunday, on the solstice, we have that first day of the summer. It's also the first day of the new wave of Kawak, which is the storm, the time of possibility and transformation. This solstice being on the first day of a new wave, I think, is significant. So let's look a little bit at the destiny chart on what Kawak means with its other support people and its challenge people. So it's supported by itself. Its side cone is itself. So that gives you a double Kawak right there, or a double storm energy. And then it's the guide tone, or the support tone, is a howl, the sun. And its spiritual guide is the wind. And its challenge teacher is the moon. So there you go. That's that destiny energy for Kawak, that first day of summer, which is the first day of the golden age for me, if we take Keshi's plan and just start peace right away. At least one day a month for 3 months. And then increase that. So then, on Monday, we have a two, a how. We finish up this genial with that good sun energy and that two polarity energy of it. That with that sacred tone. And then on Tuesday, we have a three, Unish, and we begin a new genial. And this union, we're moving in there towards the core. So we have four portal days in this union, but the next one's going to have 10. So we're getting really close to the center of the Zolt'in of this 260-day cycle. But we got 20 more days out here on the peripheries. And so a three Unish is the way we begin the union. Activation and the niche, the mother, the dragon, the beginning. And then Wednesday we have a four east, the wind, and that four energy of self-measure, or self-existing rather. Self-existing wind. That wind of change, the wind of the voices of our ancestors, the voices of spirit. So all those energies are there for Wednesday. And then on Thursday, when we come back, there'll be a five off ball. And five is that centered movement, and we're doing it with the night energy of off ball. And so there you go. That's the whole week. And I'm just excited that we've got this portal day on Friday, and then on the solstice, the powerful new beginning of a new union day, that Kawak. So Kawak is a time of possibility and transformation. Let's do all that. I pass the talking stick. Back to you, Marita Roberts.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. We always appreciate your insights and your awareness of what we're moving through here. And, of course, with the solstice coming up here, that's always a high energy place for us to be. So thank you for your guidance here, and we'll pass the talking stick next to Taran Rama and find out who Rama's talked to today.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Well, I know you're all watching. This was a black op again, everybody.
Yes.
This was a mind-controlled young person. And the idea is, you know, let's stir up a little more Civil War consciousness, huh?
That's right.
And maybe you should tell people what you're speaking about.
The shooting in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, a 21-year-old white, by all indications, very racist young man.
Yes.
He had a jacket with a two badges on it. His name is Dylan Roof, like the roof on your
house.
And the first one was of apartheid South Africa. The flag of apartheid South Africa.
When de Klerk was in power.
Yeah, that's who was going after and put
Nelson
Mandela. Well, he didn't. He wasn't in power for the 26 years,
no.
But somebody else was in power when he got out.
Yeah, they changed hands.
I don't know. Yeah. I just don't remember that. But then the white. The white ruled Rhodesia flag, those two flags he had on his jacket. And again, it's like the same young man that actually was set up to do the school in Boston. Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Same thing. He was a mind-controlled person. And so these are our black ops. And the thing is that this is the 14th mass killing that Barack Obama alone had to go and speak to since he's been in office.
Right.
And, you know, he said very strongly, he said, this doesn't happen in other countries. It just plain doesn't. And so that we're going to have to deal with what's going on in our country regarding this issue, yet the perpetrators are not generally, they are in the sense that they were open and vulnerable to some of this stuff. In this case, it was obvious for this young man. And I don't know what to say about his parents, although they were interviewing his parents and kids and stuff, and they said he was very isolated. He used to stay in his room a lot. And he used to, you know, use racist language, but nobody took him seriously like that. So that the programming was still a shock. In other words, the programming puts you to a place where you're going to go do things, act on things that you wouldn't normally do.
He was sitting in a prayer meeting, then he got up and killed these people, and it's like...
Well, he went into the church and acted as though he was part of it.
Yeah.
And then he got up and did that. So
yeah.
There was, over and above his own proclivity and... indeed, you know, the Confederate flag is the flag of South Carolina. They have it flying on their Capitol building instead of the American flag. And the whole state is interested in seceding from the Union, kind of like Texas, everybody. And Florida, although Florida's got enough Democratic-minded people, even though this archon, Rick Scott's down there. But South Carolina has a legacy that goes way back to the Confederacy. And one of the things, though, that we must learn is that the people that were white at the time helped the black people a lot. They were part of it. This young lady was on with Tom Hartman, and she was saying that we called them plantations, but they were concentration camps.
Yes.
And the slave patrol were the Nazis in this country in that sense. And they would be patrolling and seeing who was moving from one concentration camp to another, and that wasn't allowed, and that was the genesis of the police state that we are living in right now. We are in a Gestapo Nazi police state,
and we have
totally to, right now.
I spoke with the King of Swords today, and let's say he also shared with me something that he hasn't shared with many folks, and
he told President Obama.
He told Mr. Obama about this today, but with the advent of this particular incident, it triggered the King of Swords, and he talked about this, and he said, "I can share this with you because I know a bit of your history, Commander, and what you've been through, not going to Vietnam, mind you, but the urban warfare we have watched since the 60s,
yeah, urban racism.
The encroachment of the police state to right now where we have, you know, the SS and the Gestapo, and, you know, you know how that saying goes. First they came for the gypsies and the gays and the Christians. Then they came for me." And what the King of Swords brought up today is that with this particular young man, he also said, you know, this is not a kid. He's 21. And even though he looks like a child, the 13 families look for these kind of folks that are young, impressionable, especially the millennials, if they can twist them to the dark side of the force right at this time.
Well, they program
them. Yeah, they program them. And
I know, we know all of that, but he had a chat with Admiral Sunanda about.
He also had a chat with Admiral Sunanda about this story.
And what did Sunanda say?
What Admiral Sunanda shared with the King of Swords is, as I would be, and I am, in your midst, the first thing I would do is praise, respect, thank, and love this man, and ask him what happened in your life that triggered you so much to the place where you feel as though you must ethnically cleanse these people from the planet. What triggered that in your mind?
In whose mind?
Yeah, the King of Swords conversation with Sunanda.
And Sunanda said that to the king?
Sunanda said that to the king.
And the king wants to ethnically cleanse
him? No, you're misinterpreting.
Oh, okay, well, say it again.
Sunanda Kumara shared with the King of Swords and said, "The first thing I would do is I would sit with this young man, praise, respect, thank, and love him. Ask him, what triggered you in this first moment where you feel you must go and ethnically cleanse black people from this planet? What's going on inside you that's got you so angry against other people of other cultures?" And what Sunanda brought up to the King of Swords is, on a deeper level, what's going on, it has to do with the intense frequencies that are coming in from Galactic Center. This is counteracting all the ELF waves, ULF waves, and all the artificial intelligence that's not based in the office of the Christ. And there is a lot of this. And what's happening is the cosmic energies coming from Galactic Center, Great Central Sun, Mother, Father. What's happening is it is overriding all the dark programming. This is why, on a larger scale, what is starting to break across the planet here is full disclosure, the next level of what's going to happen. And like we've talked about in the last couple weeks with this whistleblower that came forward, E.T. Corey, I'll call him, that Michael Salia, David Wilcock, and many others, he was a whistleblower that came forward that talked about this, in a sense, there's been a halt, a ceasefire amongst the secret space commands, the secret space alliance, where on a larger scale, certain members of the Draconian Empire have defected to the light. This shakes up the whole game. Where the Draconians, certain members of the Draconian Empire, who have been
higher levels than
what we understand.
Our political stratosphere.
Yeah, we're the ones down here. Let's say the 13 families are their lackeys, where they have to answer to these great white dragons and the. And the great white dragons, in a certain sense, treat them like dirt. Lick my feet, you ugly human, that kind of thing. And what's happened is that there's been a ceasefire, a halt in all of their shenanigans going across our local solar system in parts of the galaxy, where Lady Master Nada has stepped into many of these secret councils, many of the sisterhoods, brotherhoods of the great ascended masters like Saint Germain, Lord Kutumi, Sanaka Kumara, many others. And there's, like I said, it's been a ceasefire and a halt. Now they're negotiating. This has been going on for quite maybe 2-3 weeks now. And what has come out of it is the fact that many of these cultures want to permanently end the conflict going on right now around our local parts of the Alpha Quadrant galaxy, parts of that galaxy, as well as our solar system. They don't want to fight anymore because they know the energies are raising at such an exponential level that as we can embrace the overwhelming energies of love, you get embraced with that and it changes your whole reality.
Okay, let's go back to this for just a minute. Let's turn it a little bit.
Okay.
The King of Swords also related to something that happened when he was in Vietnam. And he said, what's coming up are the images of young people in Vietnam who had to put down their rakes and their farm tools and pick up guns to fight American soldiers. And the King of Swords said, I had to confront many of these Vietnamese young people. And he said, I figured out a way how not to kill them. He gave them U.S. currency he had access to when he wasn't flying his helicopter. And he told them to get out of the country somehow, some way. He gave them enough, thousands and thousands of dollars. And they did not, and they did get help. And they got others. To other shores, to Russia, to China, to Japan, even at times to the United States and Canada.
Yes.
The King of Swords did not say how that occurred, just that it did. And he indicated strongly that he couldn't tell him anymore. That was it.
Yeah, he wouldn't go any further. He said this is dangerous territory to talk about.
Very dangerous, yes. But right now, we are in a period of limbo with the pending default of Greece, and from there, the domino effect of the entire European Union going down via first, the southern countries, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and Ireland following suit with Greece. Then the rest of the world goes down as well. And as we watch this country that we live in, the United States, the black ops are raising the threat level due to their own created incident with Dylan Roof, mind controlling him. It's up to all of us to speak, the 144,000, to speak truth to this power now. This is the SS Gestapo Alphabet Boy regime, and they are going down along with their financial collapse. And Tsipras is going to meet with President Tsipras, is going to meet with President Putin tomorrow.
That's right.
So I believe that something will be done to help them get on their feet without the European Union.
They will leave the European Union, and this will create the collapse that is extremely imminent.
Yeah,
right
already, though, across the European Union and even outside of it in other countries, things are going downhill in the markets. And the bank, the central bank of Greece, says almost 30 billion euros have been withdrawn from their accounts so far this year. And despite warnings that the country could be forced to leave the eurozone, Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis said he believed failure is simply not an option. And just pay attention to what he's saying. He knows what we know.
Yes.
In other words, the ones that need to be held accountable will be held accountable. And he's basically saying keep your farsightedness, because Nasara is in the wings. He can't say it that way.
That's right.
But okay, Big Will, you're on 9-1.
Okay, Tara Rahman, thank you. I surely appreciate this this update. I also want to say the Pope today, Pope Francis, he made some type of announcement today. He talked about religion and science. Is this a way of him opening the door toward UFO disclosure? Because he talked about that today.
Well, I know, but that was the encyclical. He didn't really speak of the ET, no. But what he was speaking of, what he was speaking of is that you cannot claim in a political sense. If you're holding a political office and you claim to be Catholic, you cannot hold a stance that climate change is not real. You cannot be Catholic. After you put an encyclical out, that's an edict.
Uh-huh.
That is
You have
excommunicated yourself from the Catholic Church as you hold
yes.
any other stance that other than climate change is real. And that means you've got to do something about the fossil fuel corporate stance. And this country is being run, and the entire world is being run by the fossil fuel industry. Why? Because we went on to the petrodollar in 1972, and our currency actually marks the value of every other currency on Earth, which means it marks the value that the entire world has been operating under a corporate fossil fuel system state.
And I would also just say that what the King of Swords shared with me about this message from Mr. Francis is that as we totally drop oil as a industry, because everything, I mean, this keyboard sitting in front of me, plastic, petroleum, we can make this keyboard out of hemp fibers where you never need to bleed Mother Earth dry ever again. This screen, this flat screen, can be made from other forms of technology other than petroleum.
And everything that we make out of plastic can be made out of hemp.
That's right.
Everything. And be recyclable at the same time.
This also brings in, as we get rid of oil and the entire petroleum industry, Dr. Keshe and the rest of the free energy scientists that are ready to come forward as they know they are not going to be taken out for sharing what they know.
Well, that's only regarding the fact that they have to be already arrested.
Right.
And it's a very touch-and-go yes. situation we're in right now.
And this
I totally agree with that, because there are some signs that are being shared openly and freely across Europe. A good example, they have already presented this program called the World Bank, the W-E-R-E Bank.com program. So, Lord Rama, did you get a chance to talk to the King of Swords and ask him about that World Bank program?
I asked him about it, and he said he's looking into it amongst the many other things he's having to deal with. Yeah, what he also said is that, you know, in order to even begin to open an account with that bank, you have to put $150 down to begin, you know, even talking to these folks. And, you know, most folks don't have 2 pennies to scrub together to try to get 150 to open an account. So that, you know, it's a little fishy. That's what he told me to begin with. Yet he's looking into it.
Yeah. The other thing is that there was a Democracy Now! Show the other day, and she had the Yes Men on there.
Right.
And what these Yes Men did is they posed before the Chamber of Commerce, and they walked into their meetings, and they were telling people that that's a fraud, that person there is a fraud. And I have my you know, let me see your card. And the guy didn't want to show him his card. And he said, who do you work for? I work for Mr. Donahue. Mm-hmm. And he said, and then he just turned around and he said, this is a fraud. And he said, I have my card. Come outside with me. And, you know, this, I mean, and then the other one was talking about Bhopal, that other meeting,
right,
where they said that Union Carbide, which was an aspect of DuPont,
that's right,
was the part of the corporation that he actually got up there and announced that they were shutting it down, and that they were going to take the proceeds of what that was in that part of the corporation, $500 million. Or something like, or was it billion? I don't know. It was a lot of money. But he said they were going to finally make restitution to the people that needed it.
Right.
And I was sitting there, and, you know, everybody's eyes are about as big as saucers, and he's listened to that. But he actually pulled it off. And then some way down the road, it got picked up in the media, and it got, you know, the pressure is on for them to actualize it now. But this is the timing that we're in right now. And the other thing is that the Catholic Church now, you know, the Pope is saying that all Catholic institutions across the world need to divest all their investments into the fossil fuel industry. That is huge.
Yes.
I mean, so something is really up in the zoo. And, you know, for this guy to do this is going right in the face of the Nazi regime, because that's the only thing that's kept them going. Remember, the Bushes did not have a dime. They were funded by the Dutch royals and Tyson.
Mr. Trump.
No. Yeah. Mr. Trump is a Dutch royal. His mother was... had him in South Africa. He was not born in the United States. He is not a legitimate person to run for. You have to be natural born to run for the president.
Right. Will someone bring that up as far as his running for office? Somebody has to bring that up. Somebody has to bring that up. What do you think about that, Tara?
Well, I've heard it said off the cuff. You know, let's see your birth certificate, Mr. Trump. Mr. Hare, let's see your birth certificate. And, you know, he's got one from something, a fake one, a really fake one from Jamaica Hospital in New York.
Yeah.
He was not born there.
No.
And for him to be the Mr. Birth Certificate man against Obama, when it's really him that was born in South Africa to his Dutch royal parents, just saying. This is a Pandora's box that they have.
That's very interesting because I am almost very sure that some reporter somewhere is going to bring that up. Somebody's going to dig that up. I am almost certain of it.
Oh, they are.
Don't worry about it, Commander. Yes. It's all going to happen. And then
We understand that Hillary is taking a nosedive in the polls. In her popularity, and it seems like she's losing command of her being front. Almost, let's just say that Bernie Sanders is picking up steam. I'll just say that.
That's correct. And that brings up, there was a Senate hearing meeting yesterday, and it was regarding bringing up the issue of Benghazi again.
Right.
And Mr. Issa was not on the committee.
Yeah.
And he was in the room, and the chair of the committee kicked him out, and he went huffing down the hallway. He was pissed off. And the other guy put his hands up and just, you know, and then kind of went, oh, well.
They kicked him out of the meeting.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy walked out of the meeting and then went back without him. But these guys, remember, they've already been – they are scared. They are really, really frightened.
And
right
this
now.
Ties into the larger story of what the King of Swords shared with me, where the ceasefire, a halt in the intergalactic wars, interplanetary wars right now, where, you know, most of our local Alpha Quadrant want peace.
Here's the latest stats on what the people actually want in terms of peace, but not just peace. The Progressive Change Institute did a poll, and they said, you know, because Bernie lines up with all of this and Hillary does not. And it says here, here you watch that, okay. Thank you. 75% of Americans support fair trade, not free trade, fair trade, that protects workers, the environment, and jobs.
Tariffs and treaties.
Yes, we need to get our tariffs back in place. We used to charge 30% on anything that got imported from China or any place else. That was a long time ago. And all the other countries, there's a couple of things that Mr. Hare is right about.
Yeah.
He, you know, Japan is eating our lunch, he said.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and a number of these, he said, we need new trade agreements. He isn't for any of the trade agreements. They're taking all of our money and they're eating our lunch, he said. So let's just sift out what he's saying that we want to keep, you know. Okay, but 71% of the American people support giving all students access to debt-free college.
Amen.
71% support a massive infrastructure spending program, both to rebuild our country and put back people back to work. 70% of the American people support expanding Social Security, not closing it up or putting it into a private thing on the market. 59% of all parties, all types of Americans, want to raise taxes on the wealthy so the millionaires pay the same taxes as they did before Reagan's tax cuts. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That was up 72% or something like that.
As we were to roll back.
58% of the American people support breaking up of the big banks. And 55% of the American people support a financial transaction tax on every one of those millions of transactions they do every second. Yep, they do. And then 51% of the Americans support single-payer health care. This is a big deal.
As we roll back the Reagan tax cuts and arrest the criminals that did that, failed experiment of voodoo economics. And like Elizabeth Warren said, that as you know, you're working at GM or Toyota or even at McDonald's, you need to get $22 an hour right now.
And I did some interesting figures I took down here. This was regarding the Rama said that he heard, and I haven't heard it yet, but he said he heard it Monday or Tuesday that the Palestinian government closed up.
They dissolved.
They dissolved.
Yeah, I heard
and,
that.
I mean, we're not hearing it on any of our media. So
I saw it somewhere on the TV, and I yeah, was like,
you just,
what?
You need to embraced the whole story, and you might not have missed, you might have missed something, but yeah, it's not out there, so I'm not sure. So we're going to have to just get more information. You should have asked the king about that. Mm-hmm. And then 64% of Palestinians, 64% of all Palestinians are under the age of 25 right now.
Right.
And 45% of those Palestinians are completely unemployed right now. And then in the Israeli youth, 52% of them are right-wing, but we can't call them the same as our right-wing. It's a little bit different there because they are a religious country. So they're Orthodox, you might say, supporters. 30% are center, you know, center political stance, and 9% are left wing. That's very low amount of left wing, everybody. Okay, so let me know where you want.
To get
Almina. Oh yeah, Almina. Okay. Let's just see. The Human Rights Watch people said that imperialism is controlling all of the Ukraine, Western materialism, and that the EU Parliament surrendered to the United States policy on Russia, which means that they submitted to a lie, which is stating that Russia wants to go in, has been going into Ukraine, and that is not true.
No.
And we just have to reiterate that no matter what it looks like, just stay in your center, because Obama is taking the line of the 13 families all the way down the road. When Bush was doing it, nobody noticed because they are happy to do that.
Right.
And Bill Clinton was hoodwinked into doing NAFTA. Horrifying.
And have I got a video. It's a parody on the X-Files. I'll play it tomorrow. It's called the T-Files, the last card. And this couple, they are whistleblowers. They are connected with the White Knights. I asked the king, and he said, yeah, these are good people. And in this video, they go from the Nazi regime connecting with the ETs and getting their technology, leading all the way up to 9/11 and bringing up the Rockefeller Initiative and Hillary Clinton and Bill and Lawrence Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller. In the echelon of the 13 families, the Rockefellers are the hillbillies on the block. They are the lowest rung on the totem pole. They are extremely powerful. They are tied in with the Nazis and a lot of the ET races that are not happy with the current state of affairs. And they want this planet, like the Dracos folks, that they claim it is their property. Yet that's why there's been a halt, a ceasefire, and all the, you know, wars kind of going on, and it's centered down here with all of us figuring out how we can create peace. Let it begin with me. I pass the talking stick.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say that Mr. Draghi, a full-blown Nazi, ahead of the European Parliament, sent, you know, he wants to blame Greece for everything. Absolutely everything. And he's just a furious guy. Yet Alexis Tsipras said, will it insist on leading a country and a people, meaning the European Union and, well, the Troika, IMF, the European Central Bank, and the, what's the third one? I can't remember right now. But yeah. Will it insist on leading a country and a people into humiliation and utter poverty? Or do they want to pave the way for democracy and solidarity within its own territory? And that is the challenge. And it was said just a little bit earlier. I see it's time to go, but I just wanted to mention that Christine Lagarde, head of the IMF, she was the hard-nosed one in the last talks. She said, no breaks, no forgiveness of any of what they owe, nothing. And she said, she was the he dragon that she is, unless it was pointed out.
She's one of the dragons that are going to have to face the solar tribunal.
On Saturn.
Yes.
Okay, we are good for now. If you, Lady Master Marita Robert, as you wish to bring our sister on the
air.
Well,
I'm just waiting for BBS to bring her on. I do not see her here yet. And I know it's the top of the hour, so they may be getting the other station going or something. Or else didn't see our note.
There's Omina. He's putting her up there. He's a fast boy. He's a fast man.
I'm on.
Fast commander.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, I wonder why you don't show up on my screen. That's why I didn't think you were here. So.
Oh, I'm here. I've been waiting until everything popped on my screen, so I'm here now.
Okay, very good. Well, our guest this evening, as you know, Omina has been very gracious to be here once a month to help us understand a lot of the spiritual principles and also just to connect, help us learn how to connect. The last time we ran over because we had so many people calling in to ask questions. So do you want to talk a little bit about your subject and then open the lines, or do you want to open them right to begin with?
I would open the lines right away because they haven't given me a subject. They've said allow the callers to call in and create the subjects.
Okay. All right. So, BBS, would you please, for the phone lines, open that so that people will just be able to do a *6, and that way they'll be able to ask their questions. And then as far as if you want to call in on the toll-free line for United States and Canada, that is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. And then also another line would be 530-413-9537. So if you, as soon as we get word here that you can use the 800 number, but I don't see a note to see whether they have actually opened the line yet. So anyone on the team here want to ask a question while we're waiting for our first caller to pop up?
Well, hi, Omina.
Hi.
This is Tara.
Well, how are you, Tara?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle, and I could be better.
Well, if you can do a jig with a fiddle, you'll be better.
Okay, I'll have to practice that. Thank you for the advice, Lady Master. I was going to ask you just from, it's kind of not so personal, but, it's a little bit political, but I was just thinking maybe the astrology might be a response from that point of view that you might know about. I was just thinking, Iceland put their banksters in jail just in the last week. They put them all in jail for a really long time. And you know that they never gave those banksters any of their money that they were trying to get out of them quite a while ago. It's at least a year or two or three, maybe. But they finally finished up all their litigation. They put them all in jail for a really long time. And that being said, and now Greece, you know, there was no deal made. That was the end of the communication. I was just wondering about Ireland. And I know they're watching like hawks because they are not happy campers in the European Union at all.
Right.
And I was just wondering what you think astrologically affecting Ireland at this time. What do you think the milieu of the people's wishes, and what do you think they might do?
Right now, at this moment, I have no idea because astrology is not one of my strong points at all. I think Ireland is definitely a forward-moving country, and how they're going to resolve some of their issues, I don't know. I know that recently, which is a major, major, major shift for the Irish, is to acknowledge same-sex marriages, where people now are allowed to get married.
Oh, my God, that was amazing. Yes.
Yes, that it was, because they didn't have divorce until 1998. So now everybody is moving towards for the higher good, to acknowledge that all unions are important.
Yeah.
So, but as far as the political climate and how the European common market is going, I couldn't even comment on that because I'm not at all political.
Oh, okay.
I'm not near as informed as you are.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I know how to do the jig.
Okay, I'll go practice doing the jig. Thank you very much, Lady Master. That'll help everything. I know Don't Worry, Be Happy works no matter what.
Well, you can worry all you want. My mother used to say, you're going to die if you're worrying, you're going to die if you don't worry, so why worry? You know? She always said that. And she had loads of things to worry about.
Oh, that's so funny.
Well, it's kind of true, really, when you think about it. It's really, you know, I was talking to someone earlier this evening that I was doing a consultation on the phone with, and this could be for the listening audience as well, that we make life so complicated when it's so unnecessary, because we just have to be in control of everything. As human beings, we think we need to be in control of everything, so it complicates everything. Yeah. Rather than allow things to go in the order that they're supposed to go to. And because all in the end, you know the old saying, if everything is okay in the end, if it's not okay, it's not the end. So, but if we allow okay. if we allow it to come to us, it's amazing how it does come and there's more of a clarity to it, but that requires patience. You know?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's come up here for me while we're beginning this is that we have new listeners who maybe don't know what you do and how you work. And so let's talk a little bit about Omina's gifts are many, many, multi-talented, multifaceted. But why don't you talk a little bit about your work and when you're doing readings for people or when you're consultations, what kind of things do people ask and what are they looking for? And that maybe will help people to understand a little bit about, okay, what kind of questions can I ask?
Well, I think that, well, I'll just say for the listening audience that may not have heard me before and have and need to be reminded, I'm a clairvoyant and a spiritual medium and a soul historian. And that just means I can see things very clearly. I can tell you all about your soul, and I can communicate with people who have passed over. In a lot of the problems that people discuss are everyday problems, patterns in their lives, wondering why do they keep repeating them, especially in relationships, and they get clarity on that. And oftentimes it's because they've made absolute decisions in past lives and in this lives that get them stuck. So My job is to help them get unstuck, so I provide the information with that, and I do attitudinal adjustments. I help them look at things from a different angle, and then they're able to see it a little more clearer in terms of how they're going to handle the same situation that they might be in. And I educate them about responding and reacting. And, you know, which do you do? Do you respond or do you react? And make them aware of that. So I make them aware of a lot of things while I'm giving them the information. And, of course, you know, I always get the test questions and I always smile when I get them. And, of course, the resistance is there and the walls are up. So I see them and I ask them to bring them down. And they do, because one of the things, I'm not going to go somewhere in their history without their permission. And my ethics around the whole thing is, if they want to talk to somebody that's alive on the earth and they're having problems with, I bring in that person and ask them their permission. I actually did this evening about someone that asked about someone in their lives or very close to them. Well, this young woman came in and said, absolutely not, you can't talk about me. If she wants to know about me, she can talk to me herself. And, of course, the other person on the end of the phone just laughed, because that's very true. That's their relationship. So I respect the other person saying, no, you can't talk about me. But let's say I can talk to you, whoever might be asking that question, how they relate to that person. And the other thing is expectations. People have to check out, are your expectations realistic or are they idealistic? Idealistic expectations will always leave you disappointed. Realistic ones, you might get a better chance of negotiating through things if you bring down the expectation to a more realistic level to the other person's ability to meet them. So it's really a basket of human, I want to say human joy, human suffering, human confusion. Confusion comes when we don't know how to make a decision. And if you're confused, stand back, take a look at it, ask yourself what's confusing. Sounds simple, and I'm not saying it's that simple, because it's work. Like I said before, if you don't grow, you go. And we're seeing all kinds of people leaving the earth in all kinds of different ways, and by the boatfuls, you might say, or the planefuls, or the trainfuls. We've had an awful lot of mishaps with trains and planes and boats and cars and guns, of course. So I don't know what else to say. One of the things that did come into my mind tonight, and I wasn't sure if it was the actual one, and it was all about dreams. How maybe perhaps we need to pay more attention to our dreams, because that's another avenue to solving a problem. Anyone wants to call in about dreams, I most certainly will give it my best to read it.
Okay. Do you find that it's like there's so many different avenues that they can go now, as far as they're being introduced to a lot of the spiritual principles, but what I'm seeing, and some of the people that call me, it's like they've never had some of these awarenesses or even ideas presented to them, and they just, it's almost more than, because they've been in a very fundamental belief system, and now that they're being introduced to something that might be a little more expansive, they're really frightened.
Well, that has to do with, if you get someone that's very fundamentally and their belief system is fundamentally based on religion, you have to remember how it has to do with the growth of the soul and where it's at. Young souls are very much into religion, law and order, and they want to keep everything safe within a square box. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because that's part of their growth. So when you introduce spirituality, which is very different than religion, then that's you're challenging people's belief systems. And that's my thing. I'll challenge it. I'm not here to change it, but definitely to challenge it. The other part is that there's an awful lot of souls on the earth that made absolutely decisions from past lives never to touch spirituality again because they were persecuted for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's something deep inside them that's pushing them towards it. They'll resist it until they go into a spiritual crisis. And the spiritual crises oftentimes come in a physical illness of some sorts or something, catastrophe in the family system. They're like spiritual crises that gets their attention and it breaks up some of that energy and then they begin to question. Then they mm-hmm. question everything. So that's kind of like the beginning of the awakening to their true spiritual selves. And it's multifaceted in that sense and complex in that sense because, again, I go back to the soul with the different types of souls and they different. Do you know the different types of souls, anybody?
Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, well, I think that would be a great idea because that's what I'm going to tell you about in terms of the different types of souls that do exist. And we have, let me see. We have king souls. We have priest souls. We have scholar souls. We have artisan souls. And we have server souls. Okay. And they all have certain characteristics. I'll tell you who would have been a king soul would have been. Well, king souls, for example, would have been Susan B. Anthony, Jesus, John F. Kennedy. And they're very benevolent, charismatic, commanding, composed, comprehensive. They're natural leaders. And they're troubleshooters. And we have the priest souls, and they are, for example, the priest souls. There are also to the king souls that there's a negative trait, which would be, for example, might be Khomeini or whatever. I'm doing it wrong. The leader in Iran or Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
Khomeini. Is it Khomeini?
Khomeini.
They're arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Well, they're arrogant and controlling and heartless and flexible, overbearing. Can be very tyrannical. And the priest souls, Gandhi was a priest soul, Obama is a priest soul, Oprah is a priest soul. They're all the positive traits of them. Hitler would be an example of the negative side. Okay?
The negative side of
the priest soul.
A priest soul?
Right. That the okay. Positive side would be the soul in action. The negative side would be the ego in action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you have sage souls. I forgot about the sage souls, and their positive traits would, you know, their positive traits is that they're naturally entertaining and articulate, and they excel in communication both with wisdom, within wisdom. And Whoopi Goldberg is a sage soul. I'm just giving you some examples, and
sure.
A negative would be Al Capone, because they just
okay.
love. Overperforming, overacting, melodramatic, you know, hogging the spotlight, craving for attention. They'll do anything to get the attention that they want to get.
So do people sometimes have like two different parts? I mean, you know, they aren't all one or...
Well, they're going to express the personality or they're going to express the solality.
Mm-hmm.
And the solality okay. is always the higher good. And the personality oftentimes is for the ego, to satisfy the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And you have scholar souls. Darwin was a scholar soul, where they become authorities on particular subjects, and they understand.
Who was a scholar soul again? I mean,
Darwin.
Darwin.
Oh,
Darwin. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because they're able to, you know, develop clear objectives, and they do it for the higher good for all.
So where would Einstein and Tesla and some of those fit into this picture?
I think Einstein was a scholar soul. The negative traits of a scholar soul would be Nixon, because they get lost in what's going to feed for themselves, and their interest is just themselves, you might say. Okay.
Okay.
And then you have the warrior souls. And that would be Churchill. There's four, you know, they're forceful, effective, without being overbearing. They're respectful, persuasive, courageous, and protective. And it's interesting to know what type of soul you are. And, of course, Ivan the Terrible would be the negative of a warrior soul. Because that was all about intimidation, oppression, and they get results no matter what, no matter how unpleasant it is for anybody else. Okay?
Just like Kublai Khan, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have the artisan soul. So you have all souls are old ones and young ones. Like for the artisan soul, Elvis Presley would be a young soul. And for an old one, Albert Einstein is, I thought he was a pre-soul. He's an artisan soul. He's an example of that, where they apply all their imagination, and because it comes from the heart. So it leads to creation and the gift of genuine creative fulfillment. So this is part of my workshop that I'm going to be doing on the 28th, all about the soul.
And where are you doing that?
I'm doing it at the Marriott in Windsor, Connecticut. And I have to say so myself, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And people wanted to get more information about that, is that on your website?
Yes, and it's also on the website, and it's also on my Facebook, which the connection is all on the website, which is omina777.com. And the last group of souls are the server souls. The positive traits would be Mother Teresa, because they're the most altruistic and accommodating of all the roles, and they tend to put the needs of others first, even to their own detriment. In the positive pole service, the soul service might be better described as a saint. Well, I think, I don't know if they canonized her yet, but they were definitely thinking of it. Now, the server soul on the negative trait, their souls that identify with being someone who has no choice but to work their fingers to the bone for others and for no thanks or rewards. So you might recognize some of those soul types in with people that you know or come across in your life. Or have any of you ever asked what soul type you were?
I never ever thought of it.
That's the problem. People don't think.
Well, I'm not even aware of, I mean, one of the things that really helped me to understand my children was the idea of the young soul and the old soul, because I had two very different ones, and you know, I just have to say, one was a young soul, one was an old soul, and
right.
they're both good kids, but they were they just coming from such a different place.
And I think if we recognize where people are coming from according to their soul growth, we most certainly can help them grow rather than criticize. And I think that's we're going through a major trend in the world to try and do that. There's a lot of people that are doing an awful lot of good. And I think that's, you know, all of that's all going to come for the betterment for all of us. Because we're being flooded with very bright souls. In terms of all the new babies that are coming, and more so in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of old souls coming in that are wise old souls, and they're going to be king souls and the priest souls and the artisan souls, all, you know, all the way down to the sage souls and the all the way down to the server souls, where they're going to raise the vibrations. And that's all our jobs, to see what do we resonate to and how do we help other people raise their vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we definitely can help people raise their vibrations when we give them an attitudinal adjustment. They have to let go of all the old ego demands and all the ego gains, ego pain. So, anybody get any questions about that?
I'm just asking the question here of BBS if the phone lines are open, because maybe we ought to check that since it hasn't been, you know, this is unusual because we always have more people than what we have time for.
Right.
So if you want to call in, 888-429-5471. That's a toll-free United States and Canada. And then for those that are on the phone, you should be able to do a star 6 and we should hear you. Somebody is on the phone. Would you just do a star 6 yourself and speak and see if we can hear you? That will help us to know. Just anybody. So maybe we better check. I've written an IM note here, but I haven't heard back from them yet. So to make sure that the phone lines are open.
Rainbird, can you call in? Or can you hear?
Do it. Can you do a star 6?
Hello? Okay.
All right.
Okay. There's somebody named KK on line one, Marita.
Okay. I guess I didn't see it here. So, would you like to ask a question?
Yes, please. I was interested in asking Mina if she could tell what kind of soul I am and... if I'm hopefully headed in, thank you, in the positive side of it as opposed to the negative side of it.
What's your name?
KK.
KK?
Yes.
Is that your given name?
Well, officially, Cassandra.
Oh, well, that's better. You vibrate to Cassandra, okay? Your vibrations vibrate to Cassandra, and I know that's probably a long name. Huh?
Sorry. My connection seems to be a little sketchy.
Well, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, it got a little choppy there. You were saying something about the vibration?
I was saying that you vibrate to the name Cassandra better than you do to KK. So if we were to and that would almost reflect your soul vibration as Cassandra, and KK is your personality.
Oh, interesting.
Your ego personality, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're in the group of the server souls.
Ah, interesting.
Huh?
That's just interesting what you say.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what the positive things about server souls. They're the most altruistic and accommodating of the roles. They have a tendency to put the needs of others first.
Right.
Positive role. They're service souls that might be better described as saints, which is better to be described as a saint rather than a martyr. Now, the negative would be where the ego is invested in doing all the things, serving everybody, but building up anger because they never feel appreciated. And that ends up being the martyr. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to take a look and see which part do you express.
Probably bordering towards the latter, the negative, because before you started talking about soul stuff, I was going to ask about career stuff, because I feel that I tend to get stuck with roles that, we're kind of like what you described, like working like a dog, not getting any full appreciation factor for it. Whereas I know I have a lot to give, but I also know, responsibility-wise, it's up to me to make it happen, both energetically manifesting it as well as, it was interesting you brought up choices tonight, because I have a lot of confusion with making up my mind with, I'm fascinated with marketing analytics, but I have a lot more experience with coordination side of it, but the stuff that I kind of got recruited for is not in line with that at all.
Okay, well, what you have to do, Cassandra, and I'm going to call you Cassandra, you have to start tuning into Cassandra's energy. What I'm going to do is suggest to you, when you have to make a decision, you're going to talk to Cassandra about it, not KK.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Did you hear me?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that you do that so you can start raising your vibrations up. Because if you want to be the server soul from your soul, then you have to change how you look at things.
Yes.
And that's what's going to change the energy, and that's what's going to change some of the things in your career that you want to change. And what you do is you have Cassandra do the negotiating, you have Cassandra do making the decisions.
Okay.
Okay. And believe me, it'll work. It'll work.
Yeah, yeah. Now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So start practicing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You're going to have to tell us how the best way for us to have people call in. So just give us the instructions.
Yeah.
888-429-5471. We're going to try to use that line. And you may just have to wait in line. Just keep dialing if you don't get in right away. So go ahead.
Okay. So Denise, call back, Denise. You were on there.
All right. Carolyn's on line one. What's your question?
Hi. Just not too surprising. I'm wondering if Omita can tell me what my soul group is.
Your soul group? Or your soul
type?
You want to know your soul type?
Yeah.
Your name is Carolyn?
Caroline, yeah.
Caroline. Caroline, do you have a second name?
You mean my middle name or my surname?
Middle name.
Oceana.
Okay, that's a nice name. You're a sage soul.
I'm sorry, what's that?
You are a sage soul.
Oh, okay.
Sage?
All right.
I will tell you what a sage...
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just wondering, are there a lot of any one sort of souls on the earth right now, do you think? You know, or do light workers kind of come in all shapes and sizes?
Well, they come in all shapes and sizes, but there's, if we go into the hierarchy of the soul types, you have, like I said, different types of souls. You happen to be a sage soul. You have to go through 7 stages in order to achieve the top part of that. And sage souls are very, you know, they're very, they're entertaining and they excel in communication. They can be very funny. That's when your soul is expressing itself. Your soulality comes out. When your personality comes out, and I'm not saying yours, that's general you that I'm using. When we are a slave to the ego, then we can become, sage souls can become very self-centered. And they like overperforming or overreacting, being melodramatic, and it might be because they don't know how to be real yet. And they crave for attention, okay? And that, of course, can oftentimes bring negative results as well. You're on about the third rung of the sage soul growth. And you're getting much better at it.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you. I'm wondering, the other question I had was, is there a past life that is still kicking up and giving me a lot of trouble that I need to resolve?
I'm looking. Just a minute.
Okay.
You had a past life in the northern parts of Canada, and you were a male, and you weren't happy. You weren't happy being a male, even though your Your spiritual heritage is the masculine essence, which means you process everything through your mental body. So you have a tendency to see everything in a square box rather than on the outside of the box. So it would be really, you're trying to, it's almost like rigid thinking, and you're trying to be more flexible with that, because there's challenges coming your way and have come your way that you need to take a look at and find out, why do you want to hold on to things? You like to hold on to things.
Yeah.
And what's the fear of letting them go? Okay. Because they're blocking your energy. Now, things can be material, they can be emotional, they can be mental, they can be even spiritual, they can even be religious. You're going through a phase where things are being challenged for you. Your belief systems are being challenged. And that's trying to bring you to a more natural state of being, where you can become more articulate in terms of what you want to say and actually what you want to ask for. You're not good at asking for help. You're not good at asking for what you want. So that's something that's coming into being now, where you're learning more about that.
Yep. Yep, very definitely. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Do you have any other questions? Or is there somebody else on the line?
Okay. I know there were some other things that popped up very bottom corner of my screen, but they don't stay there. Right. Carl,
okay.
Can you see who's calling in?
Anna, yes, Anna is online too.
Hello, Amina.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. That's a loaded question. You know.
Let's simplify.
I'm overall very fine, thank you. I'd like to know my soul. I'd like to know what phase I am in this journey called life on Earth. And I recently, also my third question is, a close friend of mine that I've been intimate with, a male friend for 31 years, passed away. I want to know, recently, he was visiting with me, got very, very sick, and within a month he had passed. I wanted to know if he has a message for me, or if you have a message for me that in order to deal with this loss.
What's his name?
His name is Michael.
Okay. Michael is telling me that he's resting. He's just finally realizing he's on the other side, and that he is beginning to adjust to that. He's got, I think it's his father that's with him, or there's no, if it's an uncle or a father that's with him. And you're blocking your name. Tell me your name again.
My name is Anna.
Anna. Anna, he comes to visit you. He sees your grief.
He sees
your grief, but you're not letting him in because the grief is too hard. You need to let him in so he can help you with it.
Okay.
To open up a little bit more. And, I mean, you can grieve and still be open to him. And he said he can help you.
Okay, well, I have some anger issues, and that's probably what's blocking me.
You can definitely, most certainly can have the anger issues. There's nothing wrong with that. You need to acknowledge that you have them, and it doesn't mean you have to act on them. If you really want to get them out, write them down. Write down the anger issues.
Okay.
Write down what you're really angry about. He died suddenly?
Okay. Within a month, yes. I don't know if he was prepared. I wanted to talk with him about.
You know what he's telling me? He's telling me you're never prepared. I just think that's funny because.
Oh, he has a sense of humor for sure.
He has a sense of humor. Well, he's telling you you're never prepared. You know, he thought he was prepared, but he thought he was prepared. And then he realized, oh my goodness, I'm in a light body. Where did my body go? Damn, it's gone somewhere. Okay? Three says you're never prepared. Yes. No more than you are prepared.
Okay.
For the loss, okay?
Yes, thank you. My soul and the phase of life I'm in.
I'm sorry, what?
My soul type and the phase I'm in life right now.
You're a warrior soul. Okay. Warrior souls are forceful and effective. Would that be overbearing? Okay. And they're persuasive, they're courageous, and they're very protective. That's if you're living through your solality. They're the traits that you would bring up. You're not quite there with that yet. You're just on the second level of working through that. So you still haven't found all your own power to stand in it yet. But you're working on it, okay?
Yeah.
And what happens to you that when the personality takes over, then you sort of descend maybe into depression and you get very angry and you just don't know what to do with yourself. You become unpleasant to yourself and others and you just don't know what to do with yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And part of that is too, what happened when Michael left was, and this is part of your soul's growth, and it's a difficult path to accept it that way, but what happened when he left, he brought up all this anger that's been sitting there for a couple of lifetimes.
Oh, we've had lifetimes together.
You've had lifetimes together with him, but your anger with yourself and other people, you've had it in your soul's history for a couple of lifetimes. So with his passing, it's brought it all up to the front. Okay. So I would suggest, in order for your spiritual growth and your healing, write about it, because you're much better at doing it that than you are. You know, you don't really want to go out there and throw it in people's faces. What you want to do is be able to get it out of your system. So write about it or tape it or whatever way you want to do that, because that's a healthy way of doing it.
All right.
And the warrior soul needs to take care of themselves first. It's like be a warrior, not a worrier.
Yeah.
Okay. But Michael is content. He says he has an awful lot of things to explore and he has an awful lot of things to learn, but he's willing to do it. And he's sorry for leaving you. It's interesting. He's saying he's sorry for leaving such a mess for you.
Yes. Okay.
He left with a mess?
Well, we don't live together, but he's been a wonderful helpmate with my garden and...
Yeah.
Financially, so he probably means both things.
Yes, he does, and I'm sorry for your loss. I really am. Grief is no fun.
No, it's not.
Don't let them take it away from you. Just work through it. It'll get better.
What phase am I in my life right now? I'm 74, and I don't like you. You said that. I kind of don't know what to do with myself.
Well, let's put it this way. You don't have an inner conscious decision to leave the world yet. So you're going to be around for a while, okay? You're not ready yet to leave the world because you want to achieve a few other things. Part of what you have to do...
In some way, I'm disappointed.
Huh?
On some level, I'm disappointed to hear that.
No, that's your grief talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's your grief talk, and be aware of that. What's going on at your conscious level, you're not ready to leave yet. So right now you're going through heavy loss and heavy grief, and that can depress you. And that's what I hear talking coming from you now. So I don't know what your religious belief, your spiritual beliefs is, but invent it if you don't have it and start asking for help from the spiritual realm to help to take some of this grief away and to show you what it is that you would like to do. Something that's going to make you happy and bring you some joy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'll send you lots of love and healing.
Okay, Lady Master, now thank you, Anna. That was great. Commander Randy is on line 3 from across the planet in Thailand.
Oh, my goodness, Randy.
Greetings, everybody.
Well, how are
greetings,
you,
Amina. Good to talk. I am absolutely excellent. Good to talk to you again. I have three questions for you today.
One at a time.
What type of soul? What type of soul am I?
Randy, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for this? You're a king soul.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Pardon me?
You're a king soul.
King soul.
King, K-I-N-G.
Okay.
Now, king souls are commanding, they're composing, they're masterful, they're natural leaders, and perfectionists. Are you all of those things?
Yes, that's true.
All right, because if you're not, you're arrogant and controlling. Your solality would express the positive ones, which, of course, would be being a natural leader. You like to take charge. You know, you're a bit of a perfectionist. You're stable. You're a troubleshooter. You're charismatic. And if you have...
Yeah, troubleshooter, that's for sure. Everybody relies...
Huh?
Okay, everybody asked me to troubleshooting. I've been doing that all my life.
Well, that's because you're a king soul.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you very much.
You're very
where
welcome.
Where is all the anger... Where is all the anger I'm feeling coming from?
See that?
Certain days I feel a lot of
anger. I quite didn't hear it.
Where is all the anger I feel, especially in the mornings upon waking, coming from?
Okay, let me take a look. Some of it has to do with, and this is going to sound really strange, but some of it has to do with the type of foods you eat before you go to bed. There's something about sugar. You have way too much sugar in there. And it's also, it's almost like self-berating. It's almost like you're always thinking you're never doing enough and it pisses you off. Sorry about the language.
Well, you nailed it right on the head with that statement, that's for sure.
Okay.
Sugar. Gee, I don't use any sugar. So what food would be causing that? So I only have one cup of coffee in the morning.
Food
and that's
with sugar. You might be eating food that's starchy, which turns into sugar.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I've been trying to cut out meat and go pure vegetarian.
Well,
and
maybe.
So what are you doing? A lot of grains?
No, a lot of rice. A lot of green vegetables, some fruits,
yeah.
A lot of noodles. But it could be some of the Thai sauces and things I'm using, too, that could have the sugar in
yes.
it, for sure.
Yes, it definitely could be. Just cut some of them back a little bit. Cut some of the ones that you love a great deal back a little bit, because usually the ones that we love that we overdo, and that creates a problem. The other thing that you have to do is that when you're going to sleep at nighttime, ask for a spirit to come in and remove the anger. Because it's not a good way to start your day every day. Okay. So when you become demanding and your demands are not met, then you become really angry about that. But you have a tendency to stuff it. It's not like you can go out there and take somebody's head off. You can't do that anymore. Not like other lifetimes.
Right.
So you end up stuffing it. And then, of course, it comes out when you're sleeping. And you're overworked. Do you have another question for me?
Yes, I do. Will my friend's project, his name is Peter, will it succeed?
Yes, it will succeed.
Any idea when?
When? No, that's free will choice. Is this a new project that you just started that you talked about before?
Oh, no. This is a 10, 15-year project he's been working on.
What's the name of it?
But he's extremely frustrated that he's he's stuck in one certain part of the project and not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, you need to tell Peter he's trying to control the project too much. He needs to step back from it so air can breathe between him and the project and whoever else that's working with him. Peter has a tendency to control too much. What's the name of the project?
Well, there's no name of the project. We haven't put a name or anything to it.
Well, you might want to give it a name to give it some energy.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to
give
it a name.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
The name will bring some life to it. Look at it this way, Randy. If we never gave you a name, we'd never know about you.
Oh, okay, that's true. My phone is breaking up, which means my battery is starting to die, guys, so I'm going to have to sign off.
Well, make sure you give the project a name.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Namaste. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think Rob is on line one.
Okay.
Hello, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob.
How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for taking my call. I have a few questions, and I'll start with, when we make the transition to the fifth dimension, will our pets and animals also make this transition with us? And will we be able to talk to them?
If you had animals that you were totally very close to, absolutely, they'll help you over. They'll stay with you a while. They won't stay all the time because that's not their job anymore, but they'll be there to help you over, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Will we be able to communicate, or will it be like thoughts?
It'll be telepathic.
Okay.
Okay.
Be telepathic. Wonderful.
You can do that now.
Also, excuse me?
You can telepathically talk to your pets to fast over now.
Oh, I do that. And I actually taught my cat to say hello.
Wonderful.
My cat knows how to say hello, and he knows that it's a greeting, and he will only do it in the morning.
Well, that's cats for you. It's very haunty like that.
They're very, very smart, yes.
They are.
Also, I'd like to know, I am writing a book right now, and I'm wondering if I'm getting help from Beyond with this, because I feel that I am.
Trust your feelings. What's the book about?
Well, the book is based on things that have happened to me in my life, although they are stories. It's not basically autobiographical. But I'm using people and incidences to create stories.
You have three guys that work with you on the story.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they're trying to get you to put more color into it, more humor. Because some of the things you write about are funny, but you need to make them funnier.
Okay, I'm going to jot that down, funnier. Now, is one named Richard?
Well, I don't think they called him Richard. I think he had a nickname, maybe Ricky or something.
Ricky, yeah, Ricky.
Yeah, well, Ricky Markowski. Ricky is here.
Rick Markowski?
Yep, he's here.
Oh, hi, Rick. also, I'd like to know if one of them is named Kenny.
Well, he's a little bit far away. Kenny's a little bit far away. He's not telling me if he's helping you or not. Rick is telling me he's helping you. Kenny is not.
Well, I figured Rick was helping me because he kind of burst into my research, and I just had to start use a character. And is he happy with what I've done in regards to his character?
He said he was funnier than what you're saying he is.
Thank you very much. That's great. Do you know the names of the other fellows?
There's only three, so you have Kenny and you have Rick, and the other one is Bob.
Bob. Bob yeah. is my father.
Huh? Okay.
Bob is your father? Okay, that's my dad. That's
oh,
my
well,
dad, Bob.
Bob.
Hi, Bob.
He's there, too.
God love Bob. Can you tell me anything about my mother right now, Betty?
Oh, what's your name?
Betty.
Is Betsy on the other side or here?
She's on the other side.
And Betsy is her name?
Betty, B-E-T-T-Y,
oh, Betty,
like Betty White.
Betty. Okay. Yeah, well, she just popped in and told me to get it right.
That sounds like her.
Yeah, well, it is her, let me tell you. She's affordable. She's a big person, big energy.
She was
she's
a beautiful
fine,
lady.
She said she's fine. She doesn't spend a lot of time with your father in case you're going to ask that question, she said. She's anticipating what you might ask.
Well, I didn't. You know, I have dreams about them, but they're most always separately. They appear separately in my dreams
well,
most of the
they
time.
Are separate. They're on their own separate journeys. That's why.
Okay.
Yes, they're on their
all
own
right.
separate journeys.
All right. Do you think this
she's
book...
saying that you're being too picky.
Can you repeat that, please?
She's saying that you are being too picky or you're being too particular.
About what in particular?
In your writing.
I'm being too particular.
Picky or particular?
Okay.
Picky
okay.
about being particular.
I see. I don't quite understand that, Betty, but...
Well, you might want to think about it, and you'll get it.
I'll think about it, and I'll get it, yes.
You'll get it.
Will this book be successful?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably have to know more about it. It really is... Oh, I can tell you why, if it will be successful or not, because it all has to do with your intention. If you're doing it to get recognition for the ego, you might want to check that. But if you're doing it to share a story to make people laugh or help other people, with that intention, it will be successful.
That's
it'll be
exactly
enthusiasm.
Why I'm doing it.
Well, then
yes,
keep that
in exactly
mind.
That's exactly why I'm doing
it. Well, then it'll be
okay.
successful.
Can you also tell me what my soul type is?
You're an artist. Artisan type.
Good. Yes, I knew that.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything? Pardon me, ma'am?
You probably already knew you were an artisan soul.
Yes. Well, I am an artist. And
oh, you
are?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so.
It always amazes me. Totally. People totally amaze me. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay. Now, so I asked you the soul type. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for
well, that means you're on your path.
Yes.
Have a wonderful time with the book.
Thank you, dear.
You're
have
very
a
welcome.
Lovely evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we finally got our phone stuff figured out, how to get that to work. It's just that we can't. All of us can't see the messages.
We have one more, Marita Robert. Her name is Judy.
Okay, Judy?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have just a couple questions. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. My best friend's name was Judy. She passed over, but she was my best friend.
Aw.
Yeah, love the name, Judith, Judy.
That's nice. Yeah, so I was wondering, me and my son, Ben, we're staying at a shelter, a domestic violence shelter.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, when would you be able to see how long it would be before I get a nanny position, because that's what I'm going for.
Okay.
For work.
Judy, what area of the country do you live in?
I live in, let's see, like northeastern Florida.
Okay. And you're looking for a nanny position?
Yeah.
Okay. I see three. Have you put out your resume?
I have a subscription to care.com.
Well, you might want to think about putting it on different places, because you might want to spread your wings a little bit with that in other different places rather than one place. Also need to, you're not highlighting your gifts on your resume. You're being too modest.
Okay.
So you might want to take a look at the resume. And if you do an introduction letter, you might really want to say why you love being a nanny.
Okay.
All right. And that'll stir some energy up for you.
Okay. And also, how long do you think I'll be here?
You mean in the shelter?
In the shelter.
Most of them have limitations. Well, of course, depending on which one that you are in. Have you asked them about programs for any kind of Section 8 vouchers?
They've told me all sorts of things.
Are you going to get one?
I've already did all that. I already filled out one for public housing assistance and everything.
Wonderful. So you're going to get one.
Okay.
So now you just have to become more self-sufficient in terms of more self-sufficient in taking care of yourself, and also redo that cover letter, take another look at your resume.
Mm-hmm.
And put it out on, I don't know if it's career.com or whatever, you know, there's got to be a couple of other ones that are around near where you live. Obviously you have to have where you can go to work, of course. And word of mouth is a huge thing.
Yes. And what soul type am I?
You are a server soul. Now you have, you know, the server soul, your soul, your soul part for that would be your solality that would come out on that would be where you do everything with more joy for everybody. And the negative part would be where you feel overworked with no gratitude for doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. And do you see anybody who's helping me on my path right now?
You mean spiritually?
Yes.
Yeah. You have a guide that's a female that's been with you for a couple of lifetimes, but you're not letting her in. Her name is Myra.
Myra?
So you might want to talk to Myra and let her in. You're a little protective, but I understand that.
Can you describe her to me?
I'll try. You mean physically describe her to you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Physically describe her to you? Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah, or maybe, like, she's galactic, right?
Yeah,
and most people I know on the other side, I know is, like, other galactics on ships and stuff.
Well, I don't know if she's galactic or not, because that's not the way I see. They show me the spiritual being.
Right, okay.
That's what they do. And she is about, I'm only 5'2", so anybody that's more than that looks big to me. I just see a light body. She's a light spirit. She has a lot of blue around her, and that's protective energy. You can have her come in and protect you and help you. She'll also help you with finding the right job.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to her then.
Do talk to her, because she will come and help you.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially when you have a hard time making a decision.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And just her?
Sorry?
Oh, just her? Or do I have others?
Right now, I don't see any others. That doesn't mean that you don't have them. They may just not show themselves to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for your help, and you have
a
wonderful
evening.
You're
very welcome. Good luck with your job hunting.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, it looks like Marita, we're at the end of this hour, so...
I know, Marita, though, Sonia's been waiting to get in on a line for a long, long time, so I'd hope you'd be so kind as to let her come on.
Well, we let her come on this one time.
She just couldn't get a line because there's been a lot of guests. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I thought this was not going. It was not meant to be. I tried every number. Everything is wrong number, disconnected, and I know I'm dialing the correct number.
Sandra,
so,
they were only testing you to see if you deserved it.
Well, here I am. And being the last caller, I won't take much of your time and tell me if you cannot answer another question. I might go for a couple of short ones. First of all, what's my soul type and my daughters, and at what level are we?
Well, give me your name first.
Sonia, S-O-N-J-A, Sonia.
Okay. You're a narcissist soul. What's your daughter's name?
Erica.
She's a king soul.
Who's a king soul?
Your daughter.
Okay, and what am I?
An artisan. You're an artist. You're
creative. Oh, I'm the artisan. Okay.
You're creative.
Mm-hmm. And what level, what phase of the, how many levels are there, seven?
Seven, yeah. You're on the fourth one. So your imagination is beginning to wake up a lot more than it was. And you're using your heart a lot better than you used to.
Yes. Yes, that I can see. And my daughter?
Well, I have
what
to
level
ask
is she in?
To talk about her.
I'm sorry?
In order to talk to your daughter, I have to ask her permission if I can talk about her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Erica. Well, Erica is very strong-willed.
Yes.
So she's not really interested in me talking about her on the air.
That's my daughter.
Your daughter. Just tell her she's a king soul, and if she, king souls are natural leaders, which means they can also be very bossy.
Yeah.
Okay. And if she does things for the higher good, she'll be able to develop that more because she's only on the second rung. She's on the second rung of the ladder on the king soul journey, so to speak. Okay?
Yeah.
Otherwise, otherwise she'll become very demanding, and sometimes she does.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then it's my evolution that has helped me deal with
her.
A different perspective, how to deal with her, and... And it's amazing. It's a completely different dynamic. Okay. Thank you on that one. And my brother. I have a missing brother. His name is Rene. Is he still on the other side, or has he incarnated already, or is he with my mom and dad?
He hasn't reincarnated. He's not interested in reincarnating. Right now.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
He briefly has met your mom and dad. Just briefly.
He recently met mom and dad?
No, briefly met them when he passed over. They helped him over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. So he's in peace now. He's in a good level.
He's in a good place. He's learning more about himself. He's learning more about self-love, and he's learning more about life. He's learned to appreciate things.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So he's healing.
Yeah.
That is
he's definitely on a healing journey, yes.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Yes,
so beautiful.
He is. He's on a healing journey, and he's happy. Much happier where he is now than when he was here.
Does he come to see me? Because I've seen him. I felt him.
Very on and off, not very often.
Not often? Okay.
He comes in when you feel the loss of it, when you feel the loss of pain. The pain of loss, I should say. That's when he comes. Because he's trying to tell you you're worrying way too much about him. His soul is not lost.
No, I don't anymore. I mean, I've done closure there, but there's nostalgia times because we were close.
What he wants you to understand, are you listening to me?
Yes.
What he wants you to understand, his soul is not lost.
Great.
That's what he wants. That's what he wants you to know.
Right. Good. No, when you told me he was doing fine before, I'm happy for him.
Yes.
Thank you so much there. And the other question, very quickly, to a physical condition. I require very few hours of sleep now, and they're very intermittent. Do I have a sleep disorder, or is it that just I require a lot less sleep now?
No, your mind is too busy. It won't let you relax.
What should I do?
Well, I mean, you have to do some type of meditation or plan your sleeping. You know, plan... you're not very good with a regiment of sleeping, you know, time-wise. You don't prepare.
Oh, no, I am. I sleep at 11-ish or so, but the problem is I wake up every 2 hours. I wake up 1.5 hours, 2 hours. Today, it was triumph. I slept 4 hours in a row later in the morning.
Okay.
Meaning I can correct that. Is that accurate
to
say?
You can correct that by stop counting the amount of times you're awake. And you can also ask the angels to come in and knock you out, and they will. And the other thing you need to do before you go to sleep, you need to massage your head behind your ears, all around the top of your head, because they're all the pressure points that sends relaxation through your body.
Behind the head, behind the ears, okay.
Behind the ears, the top of your head, and you need to tap the front lobes, just above your eyes.
I'm sorry, let me write it out. Pat front lobes.
Right. And massage the rest of your head and behind your ears, because that's going to release some, whatever they release, to relax your body, and that's going to help you sleep. And you go to bed every night telling yourself you're going to go into a deep, restful sleep. It's like self-hypnosis.
Right. Will acupuncture help me now?
Well, it definitely won't hurt. Because it'll help release some of the stored energy in your body.
That's what the doctor recommended this last time, and my insurance would pay, so I thought I would. Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know whether the incoming energies affect me. 3 days before the new moon or full moon, I have total insomnia. And I know already.
I would look at the full moon and see it in my dreams. So you do the same thing.
Thank you, Mina. Blessings. I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Amina, you know, it's really interesting. Of all the studies and all the things I've done, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody talk about the soul in this way. I mean, I never had asked about what soul I was. You know, it's kind of one of those things that's never popped up on the radar.
Well, I think it's wonderful it's popping up now because it's going to stir some inquisitive minds. So that's a really good thing, you know. Do you want to know what soul type you are?
I guess.
The world will know. I don't have to say it over the air. I can always tell you over the phone.
Okay. Well, I just know that I'm here to... I'm a teacher, and I know that I've been... I'm just here to serve, and I've got another 40 years to serve. That's what they tell me, so choosing to stay as healthy as I can.
All right, I got to tell you what kind of a soul you are then, okay?
All right.
You're a warrior soul. You're a warrior.
Which means, yeah.
Well, warriors are...
Oh, wow.
Huh?
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, warriors are really, they're very protective. They're very in control about, in terms of what they're doing. They're very dedicated. They're very charismatic. Okay?
Okay.
So they're very, you know, they're forceful and effective without being overbearing. Respectful, courageous, protective. I mean, you're all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're on your mission. Well, you're on several missions. I mean, that's a warrior soul. They get in there and they have all kinds of missions going on.
Yes, and that's one of the things is like, oh, I have so many different things that I'm doing, and I think maybe, am I really on track? But when I ask and I get a yes, you need to do this, I sometimes think it's overwhelming because I take on so many different projects at the same time.
Well, Marietta, what you can have them do is slow it down a little bit for you. You can get all the projects done, just have them slow it down a little bit. That's all.
That would be good. That would
well,
be good.
But you have to ask for it, and they'll do it.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to mention? Let's tell people how to reach you if they would like to have a private session.
Private session, they can go on my website and they can pay by PayPal. They drop down the lines and they can do it. And I'll be alerted to that. Then I will contact them. And my website is omena777.com. And they'll see all the services there. And if they need any reassurance, I'm sure they can read some testimonials or whatever you want to do. It's amazing the amount of appointments I've gotten over the phone from this program around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then word of mouth goes, so then their friends call or they email, I should
right.
say. And I set
all
up
right.
the appointments. So I've been very, very busy.
Well, that is good. And you are helping a lot of people. And we are so grateful that you have so one of the things that I said to reach out to assist me is that once a month I find some people that will take 1 week a month that they will either bring somebody or come themselves. And so yeah. Amina is someone who has agreed to do this, and it just means that that's one less thing on my list for that week. So
exactly.
I am grateful to have you in my life and helping everyone that calls in. And we'll look forward to seeing you next month.
Wonderful. And thank you so much, because I'm happy you're in my life, too. It's been a real pleasure and an enlightenment in itself. So I will say goodnight to everybody. And thank you all so much for listening to me. And thank all the listeners that have called in. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully everybody will be able to go away with something.
Well, I'm sure they will.
Well, God bless.
Thank you, Amina, and I love you too. I just want you to know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, lots of love to all of you. I'll talk to you in a month.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Marita, before we go to the music or whatever we're going to do, I think we should just go straight to what we're going to do. But I just wanted to say that I just want to let everybody know, can people get a good energy going here to bring some contributions to the show? It's been 6 weeks. This is the sixth week, and we've gotten two donations, one for 200 and one for 25, one to Marita for 25 and one for here for 200. And we owe $675 right now. And it's getting to the end of the month, and I just hope that people will make a good catch-up contribution here, so because then the rent comes after this next week. So thank you for listening, and I trust that.
Well, let me clarify. I told you what I got this week, and I have had some others, but that's allowed me, when I've told you I paid our Stargate Roundtable bill, I have had some others, and when I have paid that, so I want to clarify that, don't want people to think that we didn't receive that. So, Okay, so do you want to just go right on to the second and not take a musical break? Is that what you want to do, Tara?
I think so, because it's we wanted to finish the little piece, and it's about, well, okay. It's about a half hour. And I think we got a half hour.
Right. Well, we will see what you have to do, and then we'll see everybody next week. So,
okay,
I turn it over to you, Tara and Rama.
Okay. Thank you. That was just wonderful. Thank you for finding that beautiful sister to share with all of us, Marita Robert. Have yourself very sweet dreams, and we'll see you on the bridge tonight.
Okay.
Namaste. Good night. Good night. Okay, everybody. So I just want you to know we had the new moon on the 16th in Gemini, just really quickly. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Just read a little briefly, because we want to finish the Nassim Haramin, the connected universe, a fundamental transformation of human awareness. And that is no time like now to do that one. It's just awesome. And I just wanted to mention that John Stewart has a beautiful young lady on his show tonight. Her name is
Malala.
Malala. Malala Yousafzai. Anyway, they made a movie for her. What was the name of it again? I am a girl. I think so. But it's just kind of awesome to see her again. Okay, so the new moon is here in Gemini, featuring some strong Mars energy. We must exercise mindfulness. Yeah, that Gemini's got all that mercurial energy, so that would be a great place to contain it. Mindfulness with our words, with our will, and harness our creative fires into taking positive steps toward a more aligned future. And then as you do that on your own personal level, apply it to this globe. It sure could use that whole thing. I'm not going to say too much more. We'll read some more about this, but that's such a powerful statement. Okay, so let's see. We're going to go to our dear brother, Haramin. There is just so many things. And, keep the Dominican Republic people in your prayer circle, yes, because any of them, all the way back to 1932, if they have any Haitian ancestry, they are deporting them.
Yes.
And these people, they say that you have to have a birth certificate or things that have to have been registered and all that stuff. And most of these people back there in their ancestry, they came and they worked in the sugar fields. And these descendants have known nothing about Haiti at all. Mm-hmm. And Haiti is a mess. $500 million, $500 million just went poof. It was given to the Red Cross. They did not spend it at all. They built 6 homes with $500 million. That's it. And then that went in somebody's pocket. The Red Cross is a black op.
Yeah.
And that is a sad thing, because, most people in this country think that's a good place to donate. And I just remember Mitt Romney, when he was running for president, he told everybody to donate to the Red Cross. And I thought, So anyway, it is time for this whole thing to change. So let's see what Nassim has got to say about the connected universe, the completion of that part. Okay, here we go.
We're talking about the divine, or we're talking about what people have called God?
Absolutely. I think that it had all kinds of different names in many different ancient civilizations, from chi to mana to, all these things where masters at engineering and influencing the flow of that energy. And I think it's described in many different religious traditions and ancient traditions and so on. it just never was interpreted as this is actually the physics on how things work. It always stayed in the philosophical, you know, realm of religions and so on. But actually, now what we're discovering is no. The universe really is one because everything is communicating. And it really is bathing in this energy that's omnipresent, omniscient, you know, because it's everywhere. It knows everything. So, yeah, you could totally associate it with our concepts of God. And that's why I say that spirituality concept, esoteric concepts, are basically just the physics we haven't understood yet.
And that's incredible to me because I think that in this time, when we look back at our history, it's been these different interpretations of the same thing that have divided us so much. So when we're talking about connected universe and really trying to create peace, harmony, and abundance on this planet, we first have to start with the way we interpret that signal so we can have a proper feedback, because we probably haven't really been communicating with that creative force. We've been interpreting it and then fighting each other, and there's just been all kinds of war and destruction as a result. And I think that, like in any experiment, if you're looking at it scientifically, the result of the experiment is one of the best things you can look at to see where that experiment is heading and what has happened with it. So right now, this is an opportunity, I think, for us to rethink what we thought we knew in the past and try to bring it together in a more holistic framework so that we can really try to get rid of these barriers, get rid of these divisive mindsets, and really achieve some real unity and harmony here.
Yeah, and that's really something that science can provide. And that's, you know, because a scientific framework that describes all this in a very, fundamental way, in such that you can describe like the mass of things, the gravitational force, the electromagnetic force, and so on. All of a sudden, you know, can unify all these views, because it's been a little bit like this, like, you know, a bunch of blind people, you know, around an elephant, and one's got the tail and the other one's got the leg and the other one's got the trunk. And you know, one says, no, it's long and skinny. And the other guy has got the leg and he's like, no, it's fat and round. And the other guy's got the trunk and he says, oh, it's long and skinny, but it's got two holes on the end. And then starts fighting about who is correct about what the whole thing is. And really, like, what the scientific developments of these theories do is that they actually start to say, well, actually, it's, you're all correct. You're all actually describing the right thing. It's unified. And it's one elephant, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, it eats that, and it walks this way, and it can lift that much, and you know, and so all of a sudden, you know, all these differences can start to come out, to peter out, and you know, the dogma can, you know, go away, and a really profound understanding can emerge, really at a very deep level, where mysticism and esoteric knowledge becomes understandable in terms of the physics of creation.
No, that's totally profound. I wanted to always ask you this question, Nassim, and bear with me if I don't explain it properly, but there's an experiment that everybody quotes all the time when it comes to quantum mechanics and quantum observation, and that's the wave-particle duality experiment, where matter exists both as a wave and a particle, and it's up to the actual observer that makes it a particle. If the observer's not there, it's a wave. Now, would that actually be a proof for what you were talking about earlier about the universe and the feedback loop that we're experiencing? So the fact that we're actually there to witness it, we're actually actively participating in that feedback loop. Therefore, all probabilities condense into one, all possibilities condense into one probability. So is that correct?
Well, your description is correct in terms of the standard model of the Copenhagen interpretation of the double slit experiment. But, you know, as usual, I have an add-on.
Love your add-ons.
sorry. But because the interpretation, I believe, is inaccurate. And it was done at the time. There's historic reason why it was described that way. It was described very esoterically, you know, like the idea that okay, we're just gonna abandon all mechanical models. We're just gonna run statistical analysis, and we're gonna just reduce physics to something that cannot be visualized. Don't try to visualize it. Don't try to imagine it. It has no structure. It's just quantum weirdness. The whole thing became very, very esoteric. And we've been running on that for 100 years. And it's led us down a rabbit hole that is not necessarily, you know, an accurate description of what the universe is doing. Because I tell you what, the universe is not confused about the state of a particle. And the human might be, but that's an whole other story. And so the idea that, like, the cat is alive and dead in superposition inside the box, you know, the Schrödinger box, and it doesn't reach its final state until you open the box and look at it, is very much human-centric. The idea that, you know... because it assumes that because the cat is in a box that it's isolated from the rest of the universe, where what I'm saying is that actually the universe is not confused about the state of the cat, just the human that's beside the box. And if the universe is requiring that you have a live cat, it will give you a live cat. And if it's requiring that you have a dead cat, it will give you a dead cat. And so the idea that you can isolate systems and analyze them that way is inaccurate. And that's why we run statistics, because the complexity is so high in the individualization that we can't figure out where the particle is. So like, let me give you a better, I believe, and this is emerging finally after 25 years of me saying this, finally this is emerging. I'm thanking the universe for that one. Pilot wave theory is much more appropriate, accurate description of the double slit experiment. That is, that you can explain everything that happens in the double slit experiment, including the observer, by understanding that particles are actually moving in a field. So, of course, if you have a particle that's moving it in a field, it makes waves as it moves, just like a boat makes wave on the water. So people at MIT, starting in France, but eventually people at MIT put, you know, a fluid, it's a silicone fluid with silicone beads, and then vibrated it and put the double slit, and they got all the same result with fluid dynamics. And you can see that on YouTube if you look it up. And so all of a sudden, you know, the reason why it's a particle in a wave, it's not because quantum weirdness and some esoteric thing that you can't visualize. It's actually because there's fluid dynamics involved in the structure of the vacuum, in the structure of space-time. And so when a particle moves, it makes wave. If you have two slits, the waves are going to go across one slit, and the particle going to go across the other one, and so on, and they're going to interact with each other. And you're going to get all the results you get in the double-slit experiment without having to have some weird, you know, neurotic, you know, quantum weirdness in the middle of it. Then, so does that negate the observer idea? It doesn't, because what happens is that if you stick an observer there, like a camera or, you know, a measuring device, whatever, that thing is making waves in the structure of space-time as well. So it will change the result of the experiment because it's interacting with the experiment. And so basically it's saying that, yes, everything interacts with everything. Everything is changing everything else. It's continuously informing. So So what I'm saying, it's not because that it's becoming something that actually has mechanics we can understand, but it's showing that actually, yeah, everything is observing everything and interacting with everything, because we're feeding information into this field and everything else is feeding information to this field. Everything is making waves and everything is influencing everything else. So the observer actually becomes much more central and better understood of why it actually has an impact and an effect.
Wow. I'm just processing all of that.
I'm absorbing too, yeah. That's an awesome answer.
That's amazing, because actually that actually cleared up a lot of my questions with the idea of the double slit experiment, and now that actually makes some sense. So I greatly appreciate that explanation.
Yeah, I pleasure. It feels like, oh my God, my mind can relax, right? It actually is something that can be understood. It's not just some mathematical principle.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, one thing I've heard you talk about as well, Nassim, is this understanding of how the flow dynamics works with everything, and you were just really breaking that down. I'm a martial artist by trade, and I've studied the martial art tradition for years, especially arts like jiu-jitsu, aikido, and whatnot, which are really talking about energy and how to use the body in different ways to deal with, you know, an energy that's directed towards you, and how to redirect it, how to have a flow. And obviously it's a self-defense system, but it's also really an art form, and it's an art of movement, and it's a science of body mechanics. And when you align your mind, body, the spirit can really push through, and the energy transfers a lot quicker. Would you see this understanding of dynamic flow of energy and as a it can really work with the solution when it comes to us dealing with these oppositional forces or these hurdles that we have to go through in the world, in our society, and as we're progressing here? Is this because of this fundamental system that you've described, the morphogenic field and all this, is this really a way that we can help interpret and deal with all these obstacles? Is the same principle of not just hitting it force against force, which is what we've been doing for so long, but understanding that more movement, that more dynamic flow of redirecting and putting the energy back. So we're almost just – we're getting out of the way of the universe and allowing it to flow through, as opposed to putting up a shield and trying to resist it all the time. I hope that makes sense.
No, I appreciate that. Actually, you know, I had some of these discussions very early on when I was spending a lot of time with Foster Gamble, which is, Aikido master, and as well. And, you know, I studied a lot of it. And, you know, it's very clear to me. And I met some of these crazy Aikido masters that, like, are doing, like, incredible things. Like, you know, I mean, crazy stuff, like going on top of a 20-foot thick slab of ice, you know, and all Canadians know how strong ice can be. You know, you can literally drive your car or even a semi on the lake in the winter to go fishing, right? And you're only on a few feet of ice, and these guys like go on like 20-foot slab of ice and like just go like this with their foot and break the whole thing, and it's like, whoa, you know, how is this happening, right? There's an issue here. And so I saw some of these demonstrations early on, and clearly, and when you talk to these guys, they tell you that they're manipulating the chi, right? They tell you that they're manipulating the flow of the energy that makes up the material world so that they get the material world to do a little bit more of what they want.
Right.
Whether they, and they don't just use it to defend themselves, but they use it as well to heal, and, you know, they do incredible things. And so I think, yes, I think that there's a lot of knowledge there about how to become a vacuum engineer, how to actually become aware that this energy is present in the field, that you're a part of it, and that you can influence it. And, you know, if you understand it in the context of the physics of it, it makes absolute sense that you can increase the flow in a certain direction with certain movement, or decrease it in another direction, and so on, so that you can, you know, do things that would appear miraculous, unless you understood. Like I saw a demonstration of a chi master in which, and it was in the physics, you know, there was a lot of physicists there. It wasn't quite a physics conference, but it was like a physics gathering, we call it, in San Francisco. This is some 20 years ago, where, you know, a person was coming at this guy, like, this is like a, I don't know how many Dan black belt karate dude that's coming at little chi master that's like 5 feet, you know, 10, and it's like, you know, this little Asian dude, and you think, oh my god, he's gonna die, you know, and this guy's coming with, like, you know, a foot forward, you know, like in the air, like right out of the movies, like coming at this guy's face, and the little guy just puts his hands up and sends a chi wave. This is the only way we can describe it. And the guy midair, you know, gets shot back into the wall.
Wow.
Right? And you know, you look at that and you go, oh, yeah, wait, you know, this laws of motions just got violated, huh? And you look at the EM drive that was just tested by NASA, which was, you know, NASA refused to test, and many institutions refused to test that drive for some 10 years because they said it violates the laws of motion, so it can't be true, so we're not going to even test it. But finally they tested it, and it does what it does, and they're finding that it's basically a conic, you know, can that has microwave emitter in there, and they just put a little bit of microwave in there, and they get concentrated on one end and less on the other, and the can, without emitting anything, like the ends are completely closed, it's an enclosed can, basically a conic can, and it starts moving, it's pushing against the structure of space-time itself. And so it doesn't violate the laws of motion. It actually, it confirms the laws of motion. It's just that it's pushing against a medium that we weren't aware was there before, right? And so many of these ancient arts knew about this medium and knew how to control it. And as we get better at understanding it, of course, technologies can emerge, but as well in our own life every day, we can, you know, control the flow or get better at engineering the flow of this chi force that's in our life, and actually, you know, create things that we didn't think was possible, from helping heal each other to, feeling the ecstasy of being interconnected to the rest of the universe and having answers to questions that you might have been asking for a very long time.
Yeah, it'd be so great to put that energy and that force that's been cultivated through the martial art tradition towards something about, you know, healing and helping, and maybe trying to, if we could eventually just put down our weapons and just sort of work towards something more progressive. But it is interesting that it evolved in so many traditions, as you say, and even in combat, you know, even in something that would have been sort of considered oppositional to our development, it's expressing itself. It's just waiting to express itself in so many ways that it comes out from everywhere. And that, I think, what really attracted me to martial arts, and even you see it in the philosophy. Like if you read the works of someone like Morihei Ueshiba, or even a lot of the writings of Bruce Lee and many of these masters, you see them talking about the very principles we've discussed in this interview. It's a little bit more esoteric, it's a little bit more philosophical, but it really is talking about a communication system that you're using. You're using your body as an open conduit and a communication system of how to transfer and emit energy. And I found it interesting that even in the Matrix movies, they chose martial arts as one of the themes in the film. And the whole progression of Neo was to try to understand, breaking down those barriers of the mind, those points of resistance, so that he could achieve those great things. And eventually he could do it with one hand, his eyes closed, whatever. I kind of personally see the human race as that in a way, you know?
Yeah, I think it really can help people if they're working in healing modalities to understand actually this is the mechanics of how, you know, you're influencing the field. And, you know, it can bring somebody to be much more effective in being able to help others, you know, even if it's just to be aware of the field that you're creating around yourself walking down the street. You might have a profound impact and influence on the people that are walking by you without, you know, having to even ever say anything to them.
It's just your field, you know, the energy field.
That's right. And yeah. So it's really kind of, it's profound.
I think everybody thinks that the universe happens or experiences happen to us. But actually, what we have to get our heads wrapped around is it doesn't happen to us. It happens through us. It happens inside of us. And it happens alongside of us. So we're walking hand in hand with us. We're walking hand in hand with this. So nothing's external. Everything's internal, and we're expressing that, and that's basically, like you said off the beginning, it almost, it's like an analogy is we're basically reflections of the universe, each and every one of us. And
we have to be careful though. Everything is internal, is not a complete statement. Everything is internal and external to any frame of reference, meaning that, you know, you would say, well, it's internal, external to me, but it's internal to the universe. So, you know, depending on the frame of reference. So what I'm meaning by that is that, yes, we are creating our reality, but yes, reality is creating us at the same time. So we're in relationship to the whole thing.
Right.
So you might intend something, but because all of the rest of the things that are going on or, you know, have an influence as well, you might not exactly get what you expected. But
you'll get what you needed, though. You'll get what you needed, yeah.
Exactly, so that you can learn, you know, because if you got exactly what you expected to intend every time, you would stop learning. The universe would end.
That makes so much sense. And even when you, hey Chris, when you think about even our journey of creating modern knowledge and all the challenges that have been involved with that, and Nassim, you, I'm sure, with the Resonance Project, you just, the amount of challenge and the amount of seeming opposition that is faced in order to create something new is mind-boggling, but it is what forges you. It's what drives it harder. It's what motivates you to create it into something even more beautiful. And would you say that's been your experience, you know, since starting the Resonance Project? And maybe you should maybe tell people a little bit about that. And I also think you also wanted to mention the Academy and all these new things you're doing as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, definitely it's been a long journey establishing the Resonance Project Foundation and laboratory work and financing all the things and oh my God, you know, and yeah, so, you know, it's been a long journey for the Resonance Project and it's been an amazing, incredible journey. And there's definitely been a lot of moments where you feel like you're pulling your hair. You see what happened. Birth the Resonance Academy, which is offering a program called a Delegate Program, which is an amazing course. I'm so excited about it. A few thousand people have taken it so far. Everybody that I've talked to anyway have been so jazzed about it. It's almost, you know, you can do it at any pace you want. Typically, people do it between 10 and 12 weeks. And it's an online course, and it's in an incredible environment that we've built online. And all the information of 30 years of research is all present in there in a coordinated manner that makes it easy for people, from whether you want to dive deep into the physics and or just, you know, skim on top the surface and get the larger principles. It's up to you. And I've had my 10-year-old do it. So, you know, anybody 10-year-old is a little special. But
I'm sure
the I had, you know, just recently, for instance, there was this wonderful talk given by this older lady from England in that, you know, so we had people in their later years, you know, housewives, engineers, a lot of physicists, I mean, taking it. And it's really exciting because it's the first time I've been able to put everything in one place that people can get it, and they can get it at their own rhythm. They can go back to it. They can get all the references they need to verify the information. And so it's a really, really great course. So you can go to the Resonance Academy at the Resonance Project. So the Resonance Project is resonance.is, right? Is Resonance is. Go to the Resonance Academy and register for the course. I think it's unique. There's nothing else that gathers all this information together and put it in a comprehensive way. There's various sections. It goes from more like global changes and you know, worldview changes that are occurring to some of the history of physics, some of the new physics that are developing, ancient civilization, and then the application and the possibilities of the future with these new physics and some of the technologies that are emerging and the philosophies that are emerging. So it's a really comprehensive course.
That's amazing. I'd personally be interested for sure, and I know I'm sure Chris would as well. And is there something where you almost have like an ambassador aspect to it where, you know, once you've taken this course and really mastered some of those elements that, you know, you can sort of help do more productions and presentations and further that, like more of a teaching role eventually? Or
yeah, actually this, you know, this is called a delegate program, and as and you know, it has an affiliate program that's associated with it, and people can go to eventually become emissaries and so on. But people that are taking the course are already out there giving talks, you know, because they are, you, people get really excited and they have the information in such a way that they can study it. I used to go around the world, you know, giving these courses that were like 3-day courses, weekend course, and I would have to like try to cram all this stuff in there and then hope that people would retain some of it. And people did, but most of it they couldn't. In this way, they can study it at their own pace and so on. So they come out of there and all of a sudden they, you know, they become affiliates so that they can, you know, actually get resources from helping people learn about this and educating people, which is a wonderful thing. So, we wanted to have to be part of the universal feedback loop so that people get, you know, financial benefits and at the same time educate the population and so on about this stuff, about what's emerging in the world. And so we're going to have emissary programs as well to help people, you know, with public speaking and help them, you know, be able to propagate the information and talk to people about it, even if it's just talking to your friends and family or if it's talking to 1,000 people in the, you know, in a conference somewhere. So I really recommend being involved. You can become a member of the Resonance Project as well. We publish articles almost monthly about some of the new discoveries in physics and so on. And we put the lens of unified physics, the lens of a connected universe on it. And as well, we have a movie that's being done independently called The Connected Universe that's going to emerge very, very soon. And it's actually Malcolm Carter is a filmmaker from Canada that is doing an excellent job. There was a crowd campaign on Indiegogo that was the most successful crowdfunding campaign for a documentary on Indiegogo ever. And so it's booming out there. So go to the Residence Project page, get involved, and let's get the job done all together.
Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do here, Nassim, and bring you to Canada, help get people here educated, get a chance to hear you live, interact with some questions and answers, and then take this forward. Chris and I are firm believers that, you know, it's the way we started in this journey was not just to listen to somebody, but also to be able to take that knowledge, apply it, and then translate it back, and also go on that journey of discovery of on your own and really take some notes home. So I really think that bringing you here live, bringing you across the country will really help in getting more information out there for people about what you're doing with the Residence Project and with the Residence Academy. And I think that it'll be a great vehicle for bringing this information in general to the mainstream.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you guys are doing that. Thank you so much for making that happen. And it's so great to connect with the public and certainly the Canadian public, because it's been, you know, I spent my childhood in Montreal and, you know, I love Canada. I love people there. People in Canada are so sweet. And I love as well the environment, you know, the natural beauty of Canada is so inspiring. It definitely inspired me, you know, when I was a skier, looking at all the little snowflakes, looking at the mountains, you know, when I was climbing, looking at the crystals in the rock that I was climbing on. It was like the natural beauty in Canada is so strong. The vacuum energy field, the natural force is so strong. It tends to propel you in that direction. So I'm glad to be able to return.
Well, may the Canadian force be with you.
Yes. Yes, we look so very much forward to having you in Canada, Nassim, and it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nassim.
Thank you. I appreciate it, eh?
Hey.
Hey.
You have a great day, eh? And go grab a Tim Hortons coffee, and I'm sure you got lots of work to do. And okay. We'll touch base with you again soon, and very much look forward to seeing you in August.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll see you then.
Sounds au revoir.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This scientist looks at the universe in a whole new way. And he has made an amazing new discovery. Newton watched the apple fall to discover gravity. This man studies the way it spins. Recognizing that if everything in the universe spins, it could be a key to opening our eyes to see how everything in the universe is connected from the cosmological level to the quantum level. He is continually immersing himself in the forces of spin, of both particles and waves, and uses this experience to build on Einstein's belief that geometry holds the key to creating a unified equation of the universe. And after decades of study and research, at last, a breakthrough equation that uses the smallest thing in the universe to be able to accurately measure the very largest, and shows how the forces of the universe affect our world. We feel the connection of life very deeply and wonder, how does this connection work? The spinning Planck is the smallest of all things. Gravity and spin together unlock the secrets in the fluctuations of energy at the quantum level that show how the universe creates mass. After intensely studying nature for ways to guide the physics calculations, eventually nature would reveal an incredible secret.
By going to great depths to understand the holographic and fractal nature of the universe and the relationships that exist between all things, Nassim Haramein was able to make a very bold prediction about the most fundamental particle of the universe, the proton. Humanity has just taken an important step forward in discovering new ideas that can bring together the quantum and the cosmological in a unified theory of everything. The connected universe, bridging the great divide. No existing model accurately predicts the charge radius of the proton. Until now.
Okay, everybody, that's right up to date. This came out the 11th of this month of June here, right now. So resonance.is. And so real quickly, we'll talk about our unicorn friends from the part of the desert unicorn part. And this is to regard the unicorn as wholly fabulous and a product of fancy is an absurd and arbitrary position. And we do well to remember that as the elephant and giraffe and camel should once die out, they too, on account of their strange forms, would be thought fabulous. And that was by, one second if I can see this better. That was by Joseph Ressinger, 1843. And it's really cool. He's in a high desert, this unicorn, and the sun is very bright. And he's literally looking at his shadow, touching noses with his shadow. It's very cool. Okay, so we are one and children of the sun. And we'll see you all tomorrow. And I made a mistake earlier. It wasn't 6 weeks. It's 3 weeks. And it adds up to, you know, it's 3 weeks. And we owe $300 a week. So that's why we owe $675. So just wanted to make that correction. Okay. We love you all, everybody. Please, as you can, you know, let's even tomorrow start pulling that a little bit more in a catch-up way and keep on doing it so we can be free of the next week coming up here, adding, you know. Okay, so much love, everyone, and Sat Nam. And we are all another ourselves. And for the sake of all the generations, seven on to now, this is what we do here. We serve to peace. Namaste. Music Maestro.